This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05. You are with Kelvin and Cam on the evening edition, and we are talking about tourism, specifically the Disneyfication of Penang's tourism sector. So in a public town hall meeting yesterday on the Penang Tourism Master Plan, several NGOs urged the Penang government to stop pushing for the Disneyfication of local attractions and instead promote experience-based tourism with a focus on culture and nature.
So essentially, they're asking for the government to stop pressuring local vendors and businesses to please tourists via trivial forms of entertainment. Vendors of traditional goods have been changing their products to sell merchandise that might appeal to tourists, which are mass-produced in China. Instead, these NGOs want the government to enable local businesses to bring out the best of their trades and selling various types of products as well as experiences, not just your everyday tourist trinket.
Well, it's interesting that point was brought up also because China now happens to be the biggest source of tourism. So they are essentially buying products. They come here to buy products that were made in their country. Just an interesting juxtaposition. But, you know, on that note, I think how do you then adjust for a tourism market that is constantly changing? You know, with the booming economy initially in China, perhaps with more wealth, they are traveling because of the sake of traveling. Now I can travel, I want to see the world, I just want to experience the usual tourist sort of sites that I can go to. Now there is this post-tourist world that we're living in. Now there is a drive that, well, I've traveled to these places before, the experiences may or may not be similar. So I want something that's a bit more authentic. I want something that, you know, if I go down to the ground, I will be able to experience what the locals are doing there, how they live, where they eat, and where they go on a day-to-day basis. But of course, then that brings up the question of what does that authenticity mean? What does that authenticity mean?
Well, the internet, I think, TripAdvisor, etc., has given us this need to find the authentic. All of us are trying to find the authentic in our own terms. We, in our own last 10 years, we have seen how the China tourist has gone from the guided package tour to individuals in such a short space of time. And it was mentioned at this forum by people, by NGOs, I don't know quite where they found these statistics, that arrivals from the likes of Australia, UK, Europe in general have gone down for Penang, apparently, whereas China's going up, and China will be increasingly important. You also have in Georgetown, it's a place I go to as often as I can, I really like Georgetown, you have a lot of these cruise ships coming in. And the danger is with this concept of Disneyfication is that a great big cruise ship turns up, the people come off, and essentially they're walking onto what is just another cruise ship, just a stationary cruise ship, as opposed to a living, breathing entity, because they're just going to Georgetown. They're not really going to Penang per se.
Yep.
A living, breathing entity where people have viable businesses. You can get your motorcycle fixed. You can go to the optician.
Yeah,
A beautiful optician, which has since closed down. And there's a fear that actual life is going.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Also, I think because you're right. How do you then balance out to what is becoming a good source of income for the state to be able to then serve and cater to a tourist, to tourism, but at the same time also balance out what the lives of the people who live there with their livelihoods, matching with their lifestyle, with their culture. And at the same time also thinking about, well, do we just let tourism and income and that money that it brings dictate how the city and how that place should change? I'm not sure if it should, because if for tourism, they're not going to live there. It's likely going to be a visit once a year, twice a year, or sometimes even just once, and that's all. They won't likely return, but we've then changed our whole city to match what we think tourists want. But that want is always changing, and they're not the constant variables we'll see in that particular destination.
Absolutely. And you're finding also that in Georgetown, just Georgetown, that the people who do still live there are getting fewer and fewer. They're getting older and older.
Mm.
And some of the, many of the traditions that they've kept going for hundreds of years are just in danger of just passing away. And then the tourists will find great trouble finding the authentic, because it'll be supplied to them by people who are not necessarily from Penang. And of course, we keep talking about, I mean, you mentioned the locals, but there is also the wider locals of Penang.
Sure.
Penang Island, and their use or non-use of Georgetown. And if, I don't know, and I'd like to ask, if the Penangites themselves see Georgetown as their place.
You, of course, on that note, can let us know whether you see Georgetown as your place, what you feel, how you feel, I guess, Penang and Georgetown should be developed, and whether or not this disnification, you see it happening. You can let us know. Call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And we are now going to cross over to Khoo Salma Nasution, writer, publisher, and committee member of the Penang Forum. Salma, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello.
Hi. And when did Penang's tourism scene first start flourishing, and how has it impacted and shaped the local business landscape over the years?
Penang has always been a traveler's destination because we are on the steamship route, you know, along the from the west to the east. And the thing is, we have always been on the cruise stop, a stop for you know, international cruises. But these were travelers. They took time to travel. And nowadays, what you have is you have budget tourists who come in and out. You know, they may just stay for like a weekend. And it is, of course, this kind of mass tourism that is actually very, not just environmentally polluting, but also tends to changes the local culture to suit itself.
Of course, one of the most important moments in Georgetown's recent history was the declaration of the UNESCO Heritage Site in 2008. And has that, the heritage site status, has that had an effect on tourism business for better or for worse?
Well, I think the 2008 World Heritage listing also coincided, first of all, with the change of government for Penang, and then also the cruise terminal was just ready, and then the airport was just ready, and then there was an open skies policy, so you had a lot of increase in budget tourism, and there was this trend in boutique hotels, and you know, so all these trends converge around the same time. And so it's very hard to say, you know, what World Heritage listing would have been if not for all these other things that happened at the same time. But definitely World Heritage listing put Georgetown on the map, and then we saw a spike in tourism.
And I guess for you, you know, seeing this on, you know, you're from Penang, you see how the city has changed and the place has changed over the years. How does that make you feel, and what particularly have you missed about the place?
Well, when we were living in Georgetown, it was a real town in the sense that the local, you know, local shops, you have sundry shops, you have local coffee shops, Kopitiam, and they were servicing the local people. So local neighborhoods had their own shops that the people went to, and you had people from out of town, but then, you know, the local economy was quite self-sufficient. Now you have, a kind of, you know, because after the repeal of rent control, some of the residents had to leave. But that wasn't, I think, that wasn't the only factor why there are so few people living now in Georgetown. It's because the rents have risen even more than before. And everyone thinks that, you know, every house can be a tourist shop.
So the people are leaving Georgetown, but then there's the wider Penang population. Do Penangites use Georgetown? Do they return to Georgetown?
I would say that yes, some Penang people still frequent Georgetown because they're used to it. You know, that's where they would go for shopping or to go and eat, especially for food. But there are also, you know, entire communities that have grown up without ever coming into Georgetown. And these are people who have grown up in the outskirts, in the south, in Seberang Parai, and they're not used to coming to Georgetown because the connectivity is so bad. So last time people could get here by bus and by ferry, and now at least services, the public transport services have deteriorated in the last few decades. So that stops people from coming. So, you know, you have suburban malls. People shop in the suburban malls.
Yeah. Right. And so just on this conversation about, you know, developing for tourism, how do you then balance this desire, I guess, for tourism, for development, as well as protecting its cultural heritage?
Well, first of all, the tourism authorities and the people who work in tourism, they themselves should be cultural tourists. Otherwise, they will not know how to promote cultural tourism. So if somebody who's working in the tourism industry is not a cultural tourist, or an ecotourist, how do you expect them to promote ecotourism and cultural tourism? So we are concerned that, you know, tourism should be about the quality of tourists, people who can stay longer, leave a less impact on the, you know, travel with less environmental impact, and people who will stay longer and spend a bit more, but not people who just come in and out. So we have now this cruise ship terminal, right? I think the government is very concerned with quantity rather than quality. So, for example, we have the cruise ship terminal that can already take 3,000 people, you know, a cruise ship with 3,000 passengers. And the maximum per day is 20,000. Now, they want to expand this cruise ship terminal to take 12,000 passengers at a time, and then 40,000 maximum per day. And this is a very polluting kind of mode of travel because it's emitting more sulfur oxide than, you know, all the cars combined. I think in Europe now, they're trying to really make the cruise ship companies behave themselves and cut down on all the pollution. But in Penang, we just want more and more of the cruise ships. You can see that the authorities are really concerned with quantity of tourists, but not the quality of tourists. And these people who come from the cruise ship may not spend so much. So the other problem that we had was, for example, tourists who were brought in by a multi-level marketing company. So there was a lot of tourists for many years, but they were the wrong kind of tourists because they would only shop in their own shopping mall, stay in their own hotel, eat in their own restaurant, and so forth. And so when the multi-level marketing company collapsed, you know, all these shops that had been so dependent on them suddenly were out of business.
Can I ask, you've written many wonderful books on Penang. I think that your book, The Streets of Georgetown, Penang, remains one of my favorites. And so you have a great understanding of Penang's past, Georgetown's past. If I would ask you then to think about Georgetown's future, given the direction that you've seen tourism go, people perhaps, actual Penangites leaving Georgetown, what kind of future do you think is unrolling?
Well, I think, you know, it has to be, first of all, a city has to be about the local community. It has to be about urban regeneration. So when you have a very vibrant community with vibrant local culture, the tourists will come. You don't have to worry about them. But when you try to make something just for the tourists, it's going to be artificial. It's going to be glitter and not gold. And, you know, you don't want to have to kind of accommodate or adapt to something else, you know, the tourist gaze, what the tourists want to see. But you want to be what the best that this local community can be. So I think that the people who are involved in tourism may not understand that because they have an idea of what the tourists want to see. without understanding the local culture.
Right. On that note, is there a way to foster a healthier relationship and perhaps a way of communication between tourists, tourist operators, government, as well as the locals then?
Of course, there's a way, but there must be a vision. There must be leadership. So it's going maybe the way that the leadership wants to. I mean, we have actually a new tourism exco, and I hope that he can see, you know, can provide that leadership, then some good things may come out of it. So I think the city has been suffering from a lot of neglect and a lot of, things for people with short attention spans, like tourism events and glitzy events. And I don't think that the city needs any more glitzy events. It's just very short-term, very superficial, and, you know, not really contributing to the fabric of society.
Kusama, thank you so much again for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Kusama Nasution, writer, publisher and committee member of the Penang Forum, talking to us about the state of Penang and its tourism. Now, if you are a Penangite or if you have been to Penang recently, you can let us know how your experience of the city has been, specifically about Georgetown. Has it been turned into a place that is very Disney-like, you know, where the local businesses are sort of turned into places to sell very touristy, very trivial products? You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have this message here from Tan that says, I'm a Penangite. Don't like the government there turning Penang into Hong Kong or Singapore. They should respect Penang's uniqueness and look at Penang more holistically, not just Georgetown. The ridiculous Penang transport master plan should be scrapped and redesigned to service local people and not property developers.
Well, yeah, the whole story of transportation in Georgetown, Penang, has been a long-running issue. There's a space issue there, and they've tried all these one-way systems, and then the buses have been not that great. I also love Penang. It's a wonderful place, and I took some friends of mine there recently. They came from England, and we went and had the most amazing time. I can't believe how authentic it was by chance. We experienced Thai Pusam and Chinese New Year and everything together. It's amazing. But I did say to them at the time, I kind of felt, and I hate having to say this, it was the last chance to see.
Okay.
Perhaps. I think in 10 years' time, I don't know if we could get that same experience.
By experience, you mean the less authentic experience, and how would you define that for yourself?
Well, just by chance, because my friends from England, they're very friendly people, and they're good at mixing with foreigners from their perspective, and whereas I was a bit more aloof, but they were really great. So we went to one of the Kongsis, and there was they were putting on something, and my friends just sort of went up and made friends with them, and that we were all invited in, which was extraordinary. But I saw that. And they told us that this was universally an aging group, that young people were not coming in and taking up the Tan clan name. And it was, on the one hand, it was wonderful to see something that was, 250 years old. On the other hand, it was kind of scary to think, well, another 10, 20 years, I don't know. Because if there is this Disneyfication, if, as Ku Salma was saying, that if you don't have a living, breathing, vibrant city which has a life of its own, where people, local Penangites, are doing their thing, then what would people be coming to see?
Yeah, that's true. And once again, if you happen to have any thoughts, you can send them our way. 7733-2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.